This is fun! The FU Network!
For he's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow, let's all say on the bus.
Welcome to Mansplaining, the show whose title is enough to make some people angry. That's great because then maybe they'll listen and discover they were angry for absolutely nothing. I'm Ed the Sock. We've got a great panel tonight. Before I get started, though, I want to explain what mansplaining is for those who are just joining us for the first time. This is not one of those shows where a bunch of whiny man boys get together and complain about how the system has done them wrong, about how everyone's against them, and about just their male tears. This isn't about that. This isn't a men's rights movement program. I got embroiled with them through a video a couple years ago. They're fucking nuts. This isn't them. This is a show for men, not boys, not bras, not guys, men. All right, so this is men talking about being men in 2019. Not scapegoating or blaming or being angry at anybody. We're just looking at the world, seeing the world change before us, and wanting to know how we can best be men in 2019. All right. And also, if you like this show, for God's sake, that fuckhead, Ezra Levant, and The Rebel, that website that is so, it is so anti-Muslim, it is bigoted, it is so anti-Canadian. It is nothing but a magnet for all the pus that lives in Canada and calls themselves angry white people. And there's even people there of color who are angry white people. That bugger is making between 1 and 2 million a year just off contributions. There's that many angry bigots out there that are willing to support programming. Well, we need support too if we're gonna hold the middle, because that's where we are. So if you want to help us out, go to patreon.com/FU Network TV. We're just revamping the site, but as it stands now, it looks like everybody who contributes $10 a month will get a shout out if they want their name shouted out, or the shout out to somebody that they want shouted out to. I'm already complicating this. They'll get a shout out on a show of their choice on our network. And for $20 subscription a month, they'll be part of, you'll get to be part of the groups that decide what topics we should consider and tackle on our shows. You'll get to actually participate. You'll be part of, just think of that scene in that horrible Star Wars Episode 1 on Coruscant with the Republic and all those people sitting there in all those little chairs. That'll be you guys, but it won't suck. All right, so that's patreon.com/FU Network TV. We need to afford things like better microphones, very basic things, before we build up to the bigger things, and we want to go video. And in order to do that, we have to make sure everybody's got a camera that's worthwhile, an internet connection that can handle it. So we want to build. We've done amazingly well. We went from 3 weeks ago, this is 4 weeks ago now, we were nowhere on iTunes because we just launched. Then we went right into the top 20. Then we went right into the top 15. Then the top 10. Then the top fucking 5. All right? Top 5. Top 5 in iTunes Canada. You know what that means? We are beating 2 CBC shows, a BBC show, Canada Land, which is not our competition, but a compliment to what we do. But I wouldn't mind some of their fucking money. And also sitting next to New York Times. All right? That's where we are, because you people have responded to the kind of programming we're doing, the 6 different series, soon to be more, that we have on this network. I'm proud of this network. I'm proud of everybody who's part of this podcast today. I'm proud of everybody who's part of all of our podcasts. And I'm proud of you people for listening and supporting and telling people about it. So that's the little PBS-style pledge break ad. I'm not going to offer you some box set of Doctor Who DVDs. We're just going to continue with the show. Now, the show is produced by Hafiz Noorani and out in Vancouver. Vancouver is, I guess, the nexus point for the show. And Hafiz, what is the topic on mansplaining today?
Today's topic, we're going to talk about men's association with food. The reason I brought this topic up is I made two posts on the alternative meat products that we have now. I'm pretty sure everyone's heard of Beyond Meat. So Beyond Meat now is working with KFC, I believe, to make a alternative product, KFC. Now,
you mean it'll be food?
Yeah, it will be food.
Yeah.
Based on vegetable ingredients, I guess, pea protein.
Well, I'm not sure KFC is food.
Oh, you're not sure the KFC is food?
Yeah.
Well, there's an argument right there in of itself. Is vegetable KFC better than real KFC? But the biggest issue I saw was I made these posts, but the visceral pushback from mostly guys against vegetable-based protein was kind of hilarious. I thought for sure that, you know, most people would be like, yeah, okay, I'll try this. But it's been like a pretty heavy pushback, and it seems as though it's the same guys that are threatened by feminism or by gay rights or anything like that, that would always have the same pushback. So I'm wondering, what is up with men's eating? Are we predominantly always going to be glued to the idea that we only eat meat? Because that's a stupid idea and not really a healthy one for that matter. But how are men socialized to eat, and how is that changing?
That's, you know, when you first proposed this topic to me, I thought, Hafiz has lost his mind. Men and their relationship to food? What the hell is this? One of those weight loss classes? And then you explained it as you just did. And it seems that some people have their masculinity tied up in eating animals. This is news to me. I don't know why. These are also the same people. Not only are they anti-feminist, but they're usually homophobic. They're usually, they're usually against gay men. And if anybody consumes meat, it's gay men. So I don't understand their attitudes, and I'm taking a flyer on this topic. Is there anybody here who has ever felt that their food, their diet, is somehow related to their masculinity? Paul, what do you think?
My past as a personal trainer, I've done a couple fitness competitions. I was an athlete. And Hafiz will back me up on this. About 4 years ago, before I started changing my mindset, yeah, I kind of put myself in that realm. Was I'm a meat eater. I am going to bash on these people who go vegan. And I feel it's because it makes me more manly. I will say that. It didn't really come to my head at the time like that. But now that I look back on it, I realize this is why I was doing that.
You know, this doesn't make any sense anymore. Maybe in the days when the men would go out with bow and arrow and hunt down an animal and kill it and then bring it back and skin it and whatever and then put it around the fire. And that was a man's role back in those days. Maybe then I understand a man's connection to meat. But we buy it in a store wrapped in cellophane. Now, exactly what is masculine about buying something that somebody else killed, cut up, and whatever, and sent to a store in cellophane? I don't get it. And I also don't understand why anybody would give a damn what somebody else is eating as long as they're not taking it off your plate. Let's go over to Mo. What do you think?
Yeah, this one was initially a weird one for me in terms of looking at it through a gender lens as well. But I think Hafiz is right. There are some people that get really defensive about this and, I guess, offensive about it. But I think they're kind of a relic in the past. I mean, conceptually, as a society, we are reframing this idea of nutrition, and it's being reframed with a sense of ethics and a sense of wellness. whether that's, you know, the treatment and well-being of animals or the use of synthetic pesticides, fertilizers, GMOs, the use of antibiotics and growth hormones, or even just environmental sustainability when we think of things like the 100-mile diet, which was an idea actually proposed by Acadians.
I don't even know what the hell you're talking about, the 100-mile diet. Don't tell me. I have enough useless data in my head. Anyway, go on.
Go ahead.
The point is, I think we're looking at food differently, and we've found ourselves, you know, so disconnected from food, more so than ever, as you just described. We go to the store, we buy something, we don't know where it came from, who killed it, you know, what the conditions were, or even if how it was harvested, whether it's produce. And I think now the culture is starting to have a bit of a renaissance when it comes to food. And it's interesting that you brought up hunting, because hunting has always been seen as a masculine activity. It's hunting for food always took on this very masculine idea, but now I think it's taking on a moral idea, because it's not just an act of killing an animal. It's the act of killing an animal that doesn't live its entire life in a cage and not wasting that animal. So again, I think it's weird that we are seeing a gendered lens through it, but I think the people that are resisting it or mocking how we look at nutrition are people that are just behind the times. And evidence to that is the fact that they're probably against a lot of other progressive ideas in society.
That's it. I think you nailed it right there. I think what vegan, what non-meat meat, meat alternatives represent to some people politically is is being feminized. That the idea of not eating meat, that the idea that a diet full of meat is likely to give you colon cancer, the idea that a balanced diet includes things that aren't meat, and that you can live a healthy life without meat whatsoever, that whole thing, there's this notion that men eat meat. And so if you're willing to eat something that is not meat, is a meat substitute, for whatever reason, because you're concerned about the environment, nah, you're a hippie. Because you're concerned about animal rights, you're a hippie, you're a lefty. Any of these things, it's become political, because caring about, for the various reasons people choose to not eat actual meat, some people take it as a political statement and as an assault on their masculinity, that these people are willingly feminizing themselves and our society is being feminized by things like Beyond Meat, which, what the fuck is wrong in people's head?
I think we're also very, let's be honest, men are stupid and we're very stubborn. Like, in general.
Come on. Men are no different than women. I have met stupid, stubborn women.
100%. But in
and this is, sorry, that is not a way of trying to defend men. That's a way of saying men and women, there's equality there. We're all capable of being stupid and stubborn. There's no difference. Go ahead.
100%. But slight changes in a man's life, at times we, as in women, have a hard time just accepting that change. We will fight it until it actually hits us and we connect with it. So I think in the past, I was against the clean, vegan, whatever you call it, food, because the stuff I had tried tasted like crap.
Shit. It's good now. Go ahead.
That's the thing. It was crap. So I had something to base it off of. It was like, I don't understand why you were eating this. I realize it's healthy, but it doesn't taste anywhere near as good as this damn steak I have on my plate.
But
however,
you know what the thing was? They used to, I'll let you continue a second. You always see these vegan alternatives, and this is what pisses me off. Like, you'll see vegan cream cheese, and it says, better than real cream cheese. No, it fucking is not.
Yes.
You're lucky if it is reminiscent of real cream cheese. Why do they have to say it's better? It's like, this tastes even better than real meat. No, you just need to taste the same or adjacent to real meat. They always claim that this margarine that is made only, you know, is vegan. It's better than real butter. No, you're lying. And people who buy this stuff, and there's two kinds of people that buy this stuff, okay? The kind that buy it based on that this is even better than, which they assume means it's just as good as, they try it and spit it out because this doesn't taste anything like the product they're used to. Then there's the kind that buy it, taste it, realize it tastes like shit, but their identity is so invested in it that they themselves claim they're right, this is even better. And this is an absurd subculture that lives within us. Everything has become part of a culture war and an identity. And, you know, Hafiz, this actually has turned into a good topic, even though I thought you were off your rocker.
Hey, this is why you made me producer, man.
That's right. Well, no one else wanted it. Now, was it Paul? Did I interrupt you?
No, you pretty much hit where I was going at. Like, yeah, if someone posts a picture on their Instagram story that their cauliflower steak is better than a real 12-ounce sirloin that I can get from a $40 store, I can call your bullshit. However, though, I just had a Beyond Burger for the first time a couple weeks ago, and I cannot stop eating these things. I'm not sure they're as healthy as they say they are because it's all brand new, so I might be kind of screwing myself over later on. But now that I have tasted this Beyond Meat burger, I am much more open to going to the vegan store down the road. I will bike now 30 minutes to go to another vegan store and try it because I have now something to quantitatively, like, say, I get what they're getting at. Let me kind of open my range of...
I have this image of you sitting there like Wimpy from Popeye, you know, who I'll gladly pay you Tuesday for a hamburger today and was constantly obsessed with eating hamburgers. Now, that may be before your time. Look it up. But that's the image. That, and also a cover of Superman from the 1970s where he was eating tons of hamburgers that were piled up in front of him because if he stopped eating them, he would die, according to the cover. This is what I'm picturing you.
That's more like Paul, the second one. He's the farthest from Wimpy, but he's probably more like a Superman constantly eating, because I've actually seen him constantly eating.
Well, I do eat three at a time, so.
Yeah.
What do you mean three at a time? What, do you unhinge your jaw?
Well, they're a little thinner, and yeah, you know.
Got those. Now, here's a question. Mo, do you have anything you want to add? I don't want you to feel left out.
No. Oh, no, I'm good. I was just going to add on the gender topic. You called out Paul for calling men stupid or whatever. But this trope about men eating meat or being a masculine thing, I mean, this goes back a long time. If you think about 25 years ago, there was an episode of Seinfeld where Jerry was feeling embarrassed because he was ordering a salad in front of this girl that he was seeing, and then he had to like feed mutton to the dog. And, you know, I think, again, I was the one that said it. And I think that, yeah, the backlash comes from people who don't want to be on board with other progressive ideas. But it is weird that we have associated this idea of masculinity with eating meat, not even hunting, but just eating.
All right. Now you mentioned salad, and I know salad is good for you. And I've had some really good salads. I have to say that the problem with salads is they're too much fucking work to eat. Okay, do you use a fork? Do you use a spoon? Shit falls all over the place. It falls on your lap. It falls on the table. It's a really bad first date food. Why has somebody not taken salads and compressed them into like a meal bar? Like, why are there no salad meal bars? So you can have a salad, but it isn't so damned messy. You know, this. If someone's listening out there, and you're an entrepreneur, this is an idea, okay?
What if they made salad in a tube, like one of those Go Tube yogurt tubes where you just squeeze?
Yeah, no, okay, that's gross. I don't want liquefied. I want solid salad.
It can be liquefied. It can be chunky in there.
Then how do you get it out through the tube?
I'm thinking. Push it up.
All right. Salad bars. Think about it. Not salad bars like you used to get at like Ponderosa. I'm talking about take the messy salad and compress it, all the ingredients into a bar or into something, make it even a brick that you can cut with a knife and fork, something where the salad isn't so damned messy to eat.
They're converting it into chicken, apparently.
They're converting salad into chicken?
Well, that's what pea protein is, technically.
I always laugh when someone tells me that their food's made of pea protein. it's my inner Beavis and Butthead. Which also, whenever I see a product in the store, there's a brand of meal bars that advertises that they're nut butter filled. I can't help but laugh.
Nut butter always gets me a good laugh.
Nut butter. I walk by every time I start laughing like Beavis and Butthead, and I'm thinking, does nobody proofread these things? You have to run product titling by morons, okay, to see if somebody's going to giggle like me. Because no matter how many times I see it says nut butter filled, I was like, hey, what do you know? So am I.
But Ed, have you ever sauteed your kale or spinach? Because that's basically what you're doing. You take a bunch of leaves, you saute it, and then it's a lot more bite-sized if you do it that way.
Okay, let me just ask you a question. You've watched me on TV for probably a number of years. You're familiar with me?
Yes.
Okay. Do you ever see me outside sauteing spinach?
I mean, it's 2019. I thought maybe you changed.
No, I like my food made for... I have no arms. I have no hands. All right. How the hell is it going to make anything? All right. But here's a couple of questions for you. All right. One in particular. I don't know if you guys are fans of or were fans of the CBS TV show Elementary, which was a modern American update on Sherlock Holmes. If you haven't watched it, because it came out at the same time as the BBC Sherlock, everyone thought that was so wonderful. Elementary is one of the best, smartest shows on American TV networks in the last several years. It's amazing, it's entertaining, and the mysteries, you cannot, it's not one of those shows where right from the damn beginning, you know exactly how it's going to go. The mysteries take twists and turns you can't possibly predict. But there was one episode that was dedicated to what's called schmeat, which is lab-grown meat. It's actually from the cells of animals, but it's grown in sheets, like shower sheets. Mm-hmm. I order it at Walmart.
This is not science fiction, though. There's a company called Memphis Meats that's actually growing synthetic lab-grown chicken using the cell structure of chicken, creating chicken muscle, and making chicken breasts that have never been part of a chicken.
And what's it? I mean, right now, a hamburger made out of schmeat will cost you something like $48,000. Yeah. It's not widely spread. It's still experimental. But I have to wonder if going forward, this is going to blow the minds of people for whom meat is a part of their cultural identity and their political identity. What are they going to do? It's actual meat. It originated from actual animals. But no animals were killed to make it. What are they going to do?
Does that mean chemists become cattle farmers and become cowboys?
It's beef without the cow patties or the methane that is helping to warm the planet. What are they going to do? How can they possibly partake in schmeat? It's real meat from real animals, but it's not been hunted, and nobody died, and there was no blood. I think it's going to blow their minds.
There's no waste meat. There was nothing. There's like, you know, there's no carcass. There's no water, excess water being used. There's no land being torn down to build it. I mean, sure, you'd need a lab to put it all together, and you'd need the raw materials to make the beef. But yeah, this is a subsistence thing that might even be able to take us off this planet because we wouldn't need the land to grow this anymore.
Well, I don't think cows are well adapted to being taken into space.
No. You bringing this up brings the idea of from The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, the second book, they have the restaurant at the end of the universe.
Yes.
And where the cow goes up to Arthur Dent and asks him what part of the cow he'd like to eat. And he's a little put taken off by this because the cow's asking him to eat him. And the cow gets really offended because the cow's had waited its whole life to be consumed by Arthur Dent. But again, that's a synthetic cow that's synthetically grown to provide that meat in space. So, I mean,
still kind of weird asking somebody what part of my body, as I stand here in front of you, do you want to consume? It's Jeffrey Dahmer-like. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, and I definitely can understand why Arthur Dent was creeped out. But I think the concept was this futuristic cow that is designed specifically for consumption and not just death.
That poor thing, it is raised from birth and psychologically conditioned to want to have people eat pieces of it. All right.
Yeah.
That's like those mascots for chicken restaurants or other type of food restaurants that are animals. They're saying, come on in and eat me. Or those M&M's commercials where they make these really cute M&M's that walk around and have really lovable personalities. And then in the end, they're going to get cut up and eaten. What kind of fucking sadist thought this was a good idea? That one where they introduced the new M&M and they pulled the curtain back and it turned out that the other M&Ms had actually eaten the new M&M? This is fucking horror show. What the fuck? Anyway, I digress. If I'm going to digress further based on that cow story, you know how and why the practical reasons Jewish kosher laws came into effect? Because back in the day, when there was no refrigeration, if somebody had a cow, for example, they couldn't slaughter the whole cow because most of it would go bad. It was the Middle East. It would go bad. So what they would do is they would cut off a shank, they would cut off a leg and rope it off to stop the blood. And then when they needed another leg, they would cut the other leg off, and the animal suffered. Eventually, they cut off all four legs, and it was ground beef. Okay, that was a bad joke. The kosher laws were intended to be humane to animals, saying you want to eat the animal, you gotta kill it all at once humanely, and then salt it so that it can be preserved. That's just a little bit of information for people who didn't understand the history of that. But it's interesting, isn't it, how something like whether you want to eat a burger made of meat or a burger made of Beyond Meat is something that is anybody else's business, is something that has been so tied to this culture war and identity politics, nothing escapes the event horizon of the identity politics that's been going on and this culture war. Not even people choosing what burger to eat. So you know what? This was an interesting topic, Hafiz. I will have faith in you in future when you come to me with things that seem harebrained off the top.
Oh, thank you, Ed. I really appreciate that.
Don't hold me to it. Anybody else want to make some final comments? Mo?
Yeah, do you think once synthetic meat is commercialized and you get an economy of scale of it and it becomes cheap and for the mass, do you think then there'll be a backlash where people will say, well, I only eat meat that was alive at one point, that
absolutely
was like an animal at one point?
Absolutely. I have no doubt. Absolutely. There will be people lined up who say, no, I want my animal, or I want my meat to come from an animal that was raised in a veal cage and had a less than perfect life and then was slaughtered so I could eat it, rather than eating this meat, which tastes the same and comes from the same source, but doesn't involve any animal suffering for my pleasure. Yeah, there will be that divide. Because I have no, I can't put past some men, I can't limit their ability to be absolutely butt stupid. Paul, final thoughts.
No, I 100% agree. I think also just because we're so slow in uptake sometimes that a year from now, because once those guys actually try these new burgers, these new meals, everything that's being made by these chefs who actually are doing an amazing job by making these vegan meals taste pretty damn good. It's going to then start turning and turning and turning. I think in 3 years, this will not be a freaking topic that we'll be having.
No, in fact, by that point, the frontier will have pushed to other things that are even more absurd about the culture war and political identity. I hope not. I hope that once that pustule Trump is out of office, that last gasp of people who want to tell colored folks to get off their lawn and out of their neighborhood, once they stop feeling empowered and most of them die, I'd like to hope that what we're feeling now will go away. But I wouldn't be surprised if in the future we're doing a show about which Pez dispensers are actually more masculine and which ones expose you as a cuck. Hafiz, you're the producer. You opened it. Anything final you want to say?
I think this was a great discussion, and I think, luckily for us, everyone in the audience isn't off that mindset where meat is so closely tied to our masculinity. I think more and more guys need to go out there and try something like a Beyond Meat sandwich or any of these alternative products. You know, the first generation of the tofurkey and whatnot were absolutely horrible, but all this stuff actually tastes good. And it's not beef, it's not chicken, but you know what? You don't need to be eating that all the time, and you need to balance your diet. This is one easy way of bringing vegetables into your diet without actually eating vegetables. Think of it that way.
All right. Support us, please. It starts at $1. And again, I'll reiterate. If you pay $10, you will get a shout out. If you choose, your name will get a shout out on the program, one of the series of your choice. $20 a month will get you access to a committee that helps to decide what topics are going to be tackled on our various series. So do me a favor, $1, $5, put aside one of those overpriced foreign sounding coffees that were created in North America and are not foreign, in fact, one of those overpriced coffees, and devote it to our programming once a month. Help us buy the things we need to keep this going, including better platforms for recording, even being able to record in person, consistent microphones so the audio quality is the same, very basic things we need right now. And we need you to help us do that. So, patreon.com/FUNetworkTV. I want to thank Hafiz Narani for producing this episode, Paul Marlowe for being here, Mo Amir. I'm Ed the Sock. This has been Mensplaining on FU Politics on Fun, the FU Network.
For he's a jolly good fellow.
This is Fun, the FU Network.